The night watch cop in the library turned around when Reacher came in. She was a small, neat, round-shouldered person made wider by her equipment belt. Her eyes flicked up, flicked down, flicked away. No threat. She turned back to the window. Behind her, Reacher took the fake book off the shelf and hefted it under his arm. He carried it back to the parlor. Janet Salter closed the door behind him. He opened the leather box on the floor and lifted out the first revolver. The Smith & Wesson military and police model had been first produced in 1899 and last modified 3 years later in 1902. The average height of American men in 1902 had been 5 feet and 7 inches, and their hands had been proportionately sized. Reacher was 6 feet and 5 inches tall and had hands the size of supermarket chickens, so the gun was small for him. But his trigger finger fit through the guard, which was all that mattered. He pressed the thumb catch and swung the cylinder out. It was empty. He locked it back in and dry-fired. Everything worked. But he felt the microscopic grind and scrape of steel that had been greased in the factory many decades earlier and never touched since. So he went to work with the rag and the can and tried again 5 minutes later and was much happier with the result. He repeated the process on the second gun. He capped the oil and folded the rag. Asked, "Where is the ammunition?" Janet Salter said,
"Upstairs in my medicine cabinet."
Not a logical place, given that the guns were in the library.
"I thought I might have time, if it came to it."
Lots of dead people thought that.
"You're serious, aren't you?"
"This is a serious business."
She didn't answer, just got up and left the room. Reacher heard the creak of the stairs. She came back with a crisp new box of 100 Federal 38 specials. Semi-wad cutters with hollow points. A good choice. She had been well advised by somebody. The 158-grain load was not the most powerful in the world, but the mushrooming effect of the hollow points would more than make up for it. Reacher loaded 6 rounds into the first gun and kept the second empty. He said, "Look away, and then look back and point your finger straight at me." Janet Salter said,
"What?"
"Just do it, like I'm talking in class."
"I wasn't that kind of teacher."
"Pretend you were."
So she did. She made a good job of it. Maybe undergraduate students at Oxford University hadn't been exactly what the world imagined. Her finger ended up pointing straight between his eyes.
"Good," he said. "Now do it again, but point at my chest."
She did it again, ended up pointing straight at his center mass.
"Okay," he said. "That's how to shoot. The gun barrel is your finger. Don't try to aim. Don't even think about it. Just do it, instinctively. Point at the chest, because that's the biggest target. Even if you don't kill him, you'll ruin his day."
Janet Salter said nothing. Reacher handed her the empty gun.
"Try the trigger."
She did. The hammer rose, the cylinder turned, the hammer fell. "Nice and easy," she said.
"I suppose there will be a certain amount of recoil."
Reacher nodded.
"Unless the laws of physics changed overnight."
"Will it be bad?"
Reacher shook his head. "The 38 special is a fairly friendly round. For the shooter, I mean. Not much bang, not much kick." She tried the trigger again. The hammer rose, the cylinder turned, the hammer fell.
"Now do it over and over," he said.
She did. 4, 5, 6 times, she said.
"It's tiring."
"It won't be if it comes to it. And that's what you've got to do. Put 6 rounds in the guy. Don't stop until the gun is empty."
"This is awful."
"It won't be if it comes to it. It'll be you or him. You'll be surprised how fast that changes your perspective."
She passed the gun back to him. He asked her,
"Where are you going to keep it?"
"In the book, I guess."
"Wrong answer. You're going to keep it in your pocket,
At night, you're going to keep it under your pillow. He loaded 6 rounds into it, locked the cylinder in place, and passed it back. He said, "Don't touch the trigger until you're ready to kill the guy."
"I won't be able to."
"I think you will."
"Are you going to keep the other one?"
He nodded. "I'll be sure to turn it in before I leave."
5 to 8 in the evening. 32 hours to go. The prison sirens started to wail.
Chapter 19. The siren was 5 miles away to the north, but its sound came through the frigid night very clearly. It was somewhere between loud and distant, somewhere between mournful and urgent, somewhere between everyday and alien. It shrieked and howled, it rose and fell, it screamed and whispered. It rolled across the flat land and down the silent, snowy streets, and shattered the crystal air it passed through. The cops in the house reacted instantly. They had rehearsed, probably physically, certainly mentally. They had prepared themselves for the tough choice. The woman from the hallway ducked her head into the parlor. Conflict was all over her face. There was the sound of footsteps from the floor above. The day watch was scrambling. The woman from the library ran straight for her parka on the hat rack. Outside on the street, the nearest cop car was already turning around. Broken slabs of snow were sliding off its roof and its hood and its trunk. The car from the mouth of the road was backing up fast. There were running feet on the stairs. The woman from the hallway said,
"I'm sorry."
Then she was gone. She grabbed her coat and spilled out the door, the last to leave. The cop cars had their doors open. Reacher could hear furious radio chatter. The cops from the house threw themselves into the cars, and the cars spun their wheels and slewed and churned away down the street. Reacher watched them go. Then he stepped back and closed the front door. His borrowed coat had fallen to the floor in the scramble. He put it back on a hook. It hung all alone on the rack. The siren wailed on. But the house went absolutely silent. Then over the sound of the siren, Reacher heard the patter of chains on snow and the grind of a big engine revving fast and urgent in a low gear. He checked the parlor window. Bright headlights, a Crown Vic, unmarked, black or dark blue, hard to say in the moonlight. It crunched to a stop at the end of the driveway, and Chief Holland climbed out. Parka, hat, boots. Reacher tucked his gun in his waistband at the back and draped his sweater over it. He stepped out to the hallway. He opened the front door just as Holland made it up on the porch. Holland looked surprised. He said,
"I didn't know you were here."
Reacher said, "It made more sense. There are empty beds here, and Kim Peterson doesn't need protection."